Welcome to Ex Libris On Air and the stories behind the stories of today's literature and their authors. A presentation of Ex Libris Publishing, host Steve Jorgensen connects with a writer to share the vision and inspiration behind their works. Greetings for Ex Libris On Air. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Giving Up the Ghost, and I think this is a motivational book with an unusual title. And my guest, who joins me from the Chicago area in the United States, Karen Schultz. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Pleasure. Giving Up the Ghost. Is this a motivational book? How would you categorize your book?
Well, I think it's a spiritual book. It's also about most of my private practice. I'm a social worker. So I work with people who've bereaved parents. I've worked with people who are trying to get through the grief journey. And this is a book to keep them uplifted and inspired, to let them know that their loved one on the other side is fine and how to take care of themselves so that they can move forward with their lives after their lost loved one is gone.
You have broken this down into 8 chapters. The first one, Grief in Our Society. Is this simply a look at the business that you are associated with, or is it an overall view of society in general?
I think it's an overall view of society, because most times grief and loss, people don't know what to say. People don't talk about it. It's a really taboo subject. If you talk about life after death, people think you're crazy. And the society doesn't really teach us how to deal with grief on a day-to-day basis, or in terms of if something happens. So this is a book about how we can start the dialogue between people about grief, and so that people won't be able to hide. You can be honest and talk about it. It really helps if you let go and open up.
Do you give some step-by-steps for individuals like me, perhaps a friend or neighbor or someone that we don't know well has passed away, and we're forced with having to deal with that from a non-emotional secondary standpoint? How do we approach those individuals and make them feel better about what's happened?
Well, I think you can avoid the cliches about, they're in a better place, or don't worry, you'll feel better. It's just going to be a few days or a few months. I think if we don't talk like that and we just let people know that we understand their loss, we hear their loss, and that we send a card, or we don't pretend that everything's fine, and that you talk about the lost loved one, you say their name. Like if my neighbor dies, I still talk to my neighbor Alice and say, do you miss Pat? Because he was here for many years. So I think if we approach the people and not look at them like they're a problem or they're monsters because they just don't know what to say, we can be human to one another, because we've all suffered losses, and it's a question of how we can be human to ourselves and with our neighbors, so that we can have unity and we don't have to be worlds apart.
You have mentioned that this is a taboo subject for some people, but it is important because it's something that we all are introduced to at some point in our life, to maybe make those mental preparations so that should this come up in our discourse with someone, that we have an answer for them or have a way to approach it.
Yes, and that's what I teach when I do grief support groups in the funeral home, and that's when I work with bereaved parents. And the bereaved parents have told me, this is a club nobody wants to belong to. Who wants to have to deal with their loss of a child? But yet, they're all together. They need to heal together. So the goal is to let them have a place where they can talk, and they don't have to worry about people saying it's too long of a time, where they can have their own love and community. And that's what it's about when you do recovery. It's about community. And when you do lose a child, or you've lost a husband, or even a sibling, it does affect you very deeply, and it's good to have people in a group talk to you so that you're all going through the same thing. So that's what I try to do, and help them heal together rather than alone and isolated in their house.
Would you describe that as providing a safe environment for them to express their feelings?
Yes, and as a therapist, that's my goal, which is to make a safe place where you can say what you want to say, and people don't look at you crazy. And if there is something that goes on, we can do it within the group if there's conflict. It's kind of like another family, and a lot of the clients I work with are older, and they don't have really families. So the group becomes like a family to them. And, of course, as a social worker, I want to provide something that's comforting and something where they feel good about going to. So everybody thinks groups in the funeral home are crazy, but after a while, the funeral home looks like someone's house. and it loses its funeral home touch, and people get the human honesty between one another.
Chapter 4 is the process of letting go, and you have described it this way. What exactly is letting go? Does it mean getting over it and moving on? How else would you describe it?
I would say letting go is about the pain. And when you let go of grief and you let go of guilt, shame, and things that you might have felt you did wrong with these people, and you let go of your emotions and you just let God help you or let something higher take over. So it's not holding on to the pain, the guilt, the shame, and also whatever other feelings you might have. It's being able to release them. And talking about grief, we need a release. And talking about it and letting go is like a release of our own pain so that we can allow the process of healing. There's a natural process of healing that takes place. We allow that natural process to come in. So we're not saying let go of, you know, the person, because they'll always have a relationship with the person, even though they're on the other side. There is a relationship, so it's not like you have to let go of them totally. No, it's just a different relationship now that they're gone. Even though you want, there is still a relationship, you just don't see them on the physical.
In describing your book, would you say this is a book that would be desirable for everyone to read, and would you describe it also as a positive book, or is it sad?
No, I don't think it's sad at all. And part of the book was about creating joy and letting go and letting people be close to you again and being able to go out there and live life and deal with the stresses and the coping. So it's a obviously very positive book because it enables people to come out of their hiding and to come out into the light. So it's really about finding the light inside you and still knowing that they're on the other side trying to give you messages, and some people will believe that and some people don't. But the people who believe that their lost loved one still sees them, still talks to them, and they can still have a relationship with them, those are the people who usually do well because they know their lost loved one is looking out for them here or that they're around. And that's very comforting to people who've lost someone, especially very suddenly.
Absolutely. Now, Karen, did you describe or did you share any personal stories, either yours or others, in your book?
Yes, I share only real stories. My story is we teach what we most need to learn. So for years, I've had many, many losses, and I've never dealt with them at all. So God put me in a place where I can teach other people kind of the way I needed to be taught. And it's very powerful because the people who I've lost, I still hear from them. My brother died of in a tragic car accident in California. He was 40. And I heard him tell me, you know, okay, I'm gone now, but I want you to get cheap angels and I want you to go give them out to the people I say. So I have that psychic connection with my brother, and I was able to bring those angels to the people he wanted me to bring them to. So we had a communication going. So even though he was on the other side, I knew what he wanted. And my dad, too. So I do have that spiritual gift of being able to hear people from the other side. I can't see them, but I can hear them and I can communicate with them. So that's part of the book also. And I don't think you need to be a medium to communicate with your lost loved one.
One of the stories you share, spiritual healing the house my grandfather built. Share with my audience a little of that story.
Well, my dad was very abusive with me, and for much of my beginning life, I really was angry and sad and did not feel good about myself for many years. And I had to learn how to deal with my dad's death, and what I did was I turned all that pain that I had into love, and I changed the fear into love. So at the end of my dad's life, I was asking God to please give him mercy because I didn't want to see him pained and hurt. And part of that was he did that to me, but I wasn't going to act that way to him. So I gave him the mercy. I asked God, and I took care of his house stuff when he died, and it was something I did not want to do. But I had to make peace with that house and my dad and the family. So for me, that was walking through the valley of death in the dark to try to find the light. So at the end of the 5 days, the house was cleaned out. I felt more like I had little weight to worry about. I didn't have to feel heavy, or it all just left me. So I felt like by communicating with myself and with God and with my dad, I was able to let go of a lot of pain and a lot of heartache and replace it with love instead of fear and loss and shame.
Now, is Chapter 7, is that a workbook chapter? It talks about contact page and forgiveness sheets. Is that something that you advise people to pursue?
Yes, because you know what? Forgiveness is the hardest thing for us to do. We're very hard on ourselves. And I would go to that chapter and look at those questions and realize that you can really do whatever you need to do for yourself if you feel like you have somebody who's a guide or you have somebody guide you the way. So that's what I am. I'm the guide. I'm in the boat with you, but you're steering, and I'm telling you which way to go. And if you don't want to go that way, you don't have to. So the best thing I've ever done is forgiven myself for things that I thought I did that I really didn't do.
Mm.
So I would say anybody who's suffering with lack of forgiveness for themselves, for other people, this is a book for you to try to help you get away from that and try to replace it with some positive, loving ways of loving yourself.
Karen, how long did it take to complete all of the stories in this book and to get your thoughts into a form that was printable?
It was 3 years of working in the funeral home and doing my own practice and working with bereaved parents. And it took me a long time to get the stories because I wanted them to be real, and I didn't want people to think I made them up. These are real stories, and God put on my heart that I have to share these stories and my own story, too. So the book will also have authenticity, which is these are real people with real stories, and I've seen real growth in them. And the people who've gone on, they don't need the group anymore. Now they've got a life, and that's what it's about, reliving, rebuilding, being able to go on forward in your life so that it doesn't keep you weighed down.
Did the process motivate you? Are you planning a sequel to Giving Up the Ghost?
Yes, I am, and I'm going to keep following with the stories, keep learning, keep growing. And, you know, we can only bring people as far as we've been. So the reality is I got to keep working forward because I got to help more people, and I need to know more. So I just think I'm on the right path, and this book was put in my hand that I wrote, and my guides helped me write them, and the people from the funeral home helped me write them. My clients helped me write them. So we're putting out there real information about real people to solve real problems.
Motivational book, 100 pages approximately, titled Giving Up the Ghost, subtitled Let Go of Grief and Restore Your Life. My guest has been Karen Schultz, who's joined me from Chicago. Karen, many of my listeners will want to get a copy of this. How do they do so?
They can go on Amazon.com, they can do BarnesandNoble.com, or they can go to Ex Libris. Or it's in any bookstore. You can order it anytime. Amazon and Barnes & Noble's is a good thing, but they're pretty easy to get.
Fabulous. And Karen is spelled with the traditional spelling with a K, K-A-R-E-N, last name S-C-H-U-L-T-Z. If you're looking online, they could do a search and find out about other activities you're involved in and the next book when it comes out. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. And you can go to spiritcoachkaren.com.
There you are.
And you will learn more about who I am and what I have to offer.
Fantastic. Thank you, Karen, for joining me today. And best of luck in the future. Maybe we'll get to visit again.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. For Ex Libris On Air, this is J. Douglas Barker.